The wise man says that he searched all his life, and then he found that for which he was looking in that child. So what child is this? We base the series, obviously, on the old hymn, the hymn that was written by William Chatterton Dix in 1865. And in the hymn, Dix never does really directly address the wise men, the magi. But it's clear that he makes reference to them in the third verse because he says to us, challenging us to be like the wise men, he says, "So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant, king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him." So I want us this morning to look again at the story of the wise men as they brought their gifts, as they journeyed so far to find the child that they had heard about, that they had studied, to find the child that would change their lives and would change all of history. Let's look again at the story of those who journeyed so far to find the baby Jesus. Look in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to begin at verse 1. I want to just share with you a couple of verses here. In Matthew chapter 2, we'll begin at verse 1. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Now it says that they came during the days of Herod, and that is not just a way to tell us the time period. It's significant that they came during the days of Herod. Herod was that ruthless, evil ruler. And they came during his time is significant. They showed up at Jerusalem because that's where the king is. That's where that's the capital. And they show up to find out from those who should know best, where is this new king of the Jews? As you heard from the testimony, as they ask the king, "Where is the new king?" the king didn't like that very much. And so he lies and he says, "I tell you what, when you find him, tell me where he is. I want to worship him." They knew very quickly that he was not there to worship Jesus. He wanted to find Jesus so that he could kill him. Herod wanted to protect his own throne, and so it's significant that it says that they came in the days of Herod. It says the Magi came from the east. And sometimes the second verse is a little confusing because it says we saw his star in the east. It's a little confusing because what they're saying is while we were in the east, we saw his star. They're not saying that we saw the star that was in the east, but while we were in the east, we saw his star. And so it brought us west to find this Messiah, to find the one who would be king of the Jews. And if we fast forward through the story, you know the story, how Herod tried to find Jesus and he brought his advisors around, found out it should be in Bethlehem, and he tried to trick the wise men to tell him where, and all of that happens. Fast forward to verse 11. Still in chapter 1, verse 11. The wise men are referred to here. It says, "And they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they fell down and worshiped him. And opening their treasures, They presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. So understand what these guys did. They sought Jesus. They looked for him. They wanted to find Jesus. Many, many years ago, Southern Baptists had a slogan or a motto, if you will, that we hoped would kind of stir a revival across the land. Everybody had bumper stickers that says, "I found him." You remember, "I found him" many years ago. The reality is, if you've been saved, it's because he found you. But the purpose of the drive is what drove the wise men. Are you just running through life doing your thing your way because you're you? Or are you looking for something, someone more meaningful to add meaning to life, to bring that peace that passes understanding, to bring an abundance to your life? Are you looking for the one who can do that? These wise men were seeking him. And not only did they seek him, but they diligently worked at finding him. It's one thing to kind of hope you find something. It's completely different to diligently work at finding that for which you seek. And so they went a long journey, and it probably took them a very long time. They worked hard to find Jesus. And then it says, not only did they seek him, not only did they work hard to find him, but when they got there, they bowed down and worshiped him. When you come into contact with this child, you know that he is worthy of your praise. And so they began to worship him. And not only did they worship him, but then they gave him their gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We spent a lot of time this past Wednesday looking at those gifts and what they would have been, what they meant and all that. So we'll not do that this morning. Suffice it to say this morning that all of those things were extremely valuable. That they did not just bring what they had in their pocket. They didn't just give Jesus what was easy. They didn't just give him what was convenient. They brought to him the best, very valuable gifts is what they brought him. And so they made the journey. They found him. They worshiped him. And they gave him gifts. As we think about them, we see an example for us, don't we? And we too want to seek after him, and we want to do what is necessary to find him. We want to worship him and give him the valuable gifts of our time and our lives. As I think about the wise men, I not only see an example for me, but I also see a connection with Jesus. You may remember last week we talked about the shepherds, and we recognized the connection between the shepherds and Jesus in that Jesus was the good shepherd. So they had a lot in common. There's a connection there with shepherds because he was a shepherd. Well, this morning I want us to take a few minutes to look at the connections again between the wise men and Jesus. They have a lot in common if we think it through. The first thing that I notice they have in common is that he came a long distance as well. They came a long distance, probably from, they came from the area that is Persia. I kind of agree with, in a conversation I had with Dr. Sparks not long ago, I think he's right. I agree. I think they came from the Babylon area. Probably they came to know about Judaism and God because of the exiles that were taken to the area of Babylon. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, all those other dudes. They were there a long time. I think probably those folks had an influence on that region, and they caught the truth about God, about Yahweh. And so they were what we would call God-fearers. They were Gentiles, but they believed in Yahweh. And so they wanted to connect, and so they came a very long distance, all the way from the east, a very long distance to Bethlehem. In a very similar way, Jesus came a very long distance to get to Bethlehem. If you think about it, he came perhaps, definitely, not perhaps, definitely, he came the longest trip that was probably ever taken by anyone, in that he stepped off the throne of glory. He took off the royal robes, and he came all the way down to humanity, but not just humanity, to Jewish humanity, but not just Jewish humanity, to a poor family, but not just a poor family. He became a baby. Not just a baby, but a baby that was laid in a feeding trough for animals. That's a long journey. In John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." The Word was God. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." From God, from the realms of glory, from the throne to the manger. He came a long distance. And as I thought through last week's story and this week's story, I thought of something else, that Jesus did not make that long journey. He didn't just come for the poor Jewish shepherds. He also came for the rich Gentile wise men. He did not just come for the down and out, for the lowest. He did not just come for the poor. He came also for the wealthy and the powerful and the rich and the well-known. He came for all. And as I think about that, I'm just overwhelmed by the reality that he came from a position of wealth, gave up that wealth in order to be here, to change life for the rich and the poor, for the male and the female, for the Jew and the Gentile, for all of us. In Psalm 24 and verse 1, the psalmist says, "The earth is the Lord's, and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it." Doesn't just mean that it's his because he made it. It means that it's his because he owns it. That's how wealthy he is. He owns all that exists. And yet he came from that position of wealth to be here for us. You look in Revelation and you see the glorious pictures of the place he left. And it's amazing to think of how great his love for us must have been to step out of that and into this. So he came from a long distance, just like they did. He came from a position of wealth, just like they did. And he was a generous gift giver, just like they were. When they came and found baby Jesus, they gave him their best, generous gifts. And in a similar way, Jesus is a generous gift giver. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul opens that letter speaking to the church in Galatia, and he says to them with this greeting, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins." He is a generous gift giver. He gave of himself. And you'll remember the night before Jesus dies, he is with the disciples in the upper room. And in that experience, he says to them and vicariously to us, "My peace I give you. Not as the world gives, but I give you my peace." Well, what a great and generous gift. In Philippians chapter 4, you're familiar with 13 that says, "I do all things through Christ who gives me strength." A generous gift giver. He gives himself, he gives peace, he gives strength. Mark chapter 10 says it this way in verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." He gave himself, he gives peace, he gives strength, he gave his very life. The Christmas gift, really. Last week, after we talked about the shepherds, and we remembered that Jesus is the good shepherd, the connection that he had with them in that way, I decided to put the shepherd's crook on the Advent table, remembering that the fact that he is the good shepherd is a major part of his coming. And this morning, we'll put the gift here as well, remembering that he is the generous gift giver. He is the greatest gift ever given. Just like the wise men brought gifts that experience that day, Jesus is the gift giver as he gives of himself over and over. He's not only the generous gift giver, but he has something else with them in common as well. Just like they came seeking something, so did he. The wise men were searching for Messiah. Jesus came seeking something as well. He didn't come looking for Messiah because he is Messiah. What then did he come looking for? In Luke 19 and 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. The wise men came because they saw a star and knew the Messiah had been born. They heard the stories from the Jews probably, and they came to find the one that they were looking for. Jesus came to find the one he was looking for. You remember he tells three stories in Luke chapter 15. Three different stories with basically all the same meaning. One story says that this man had two sons. The one son stayed home, but the other one ran away. And that man sought after the one son that was missing. There was a lady who had some coins, but she lost one coin. And so she turned her house upside down, dusting and sweeping and looking until she found that one lost coin. There was a shepherd who had 100 sheep. He left the 99 over there because there was one that was missing. And he went to great lengths to find that one lost sheep. And as you read through Luke 15 and you hear those three stories, before you get to the end of the chapter, you finally get the point and you say, "He came looking for me." The master of all the universe, the king of all that exists, the creator of all that is, came for me. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Just like the wise men came looking for someone, so did Jesus. He came looking for you. The wise men were the first Gentiles to worship Jesus, but they would not be the last. What child is this? The one who is worthy of worship by all people, in all places and all races. What child is this? The one true Savior of the entire world as he came to seek and save those who were lost. May we, like the wise men, seek him, bow before him, worship him, give him our gifts of our lives, and then like they did, may we go tell others where they too can find him. Father, we thank you for loving us enough to give the greatest of gifts. Thank you for sending Jesus. We pray that you'd help us to be wise enough to seek him, to long for him, to want to know him personally. Father, we know that We know that the reality is that we'll never be at peace until we find Him. Help us, Lord, to reach out to Jesus Christ. Help us to long for Him, to want to be with Him, so that when He comes knocking on our heart's door, we'll be ready to open and let Him in. Father, thank You for sending Christ to seek and to save the lost ones, us. I pray that, Lord, during this time that You'd help each of us to make sure that we have been found, that we've accepted the truth of Christ's love for us. And if we realize that we're not at peace with You, that we haven't found Him or been found by Him, that, Lord, if that's us, then help us to step out in faith and to trust Him. We pray in Jesus' name.